But you all have an After Dark series. The festival does not stop when the actual festival here in the French Quarter ends, correct?
Breaking news, the NOPD confirms a mass shooting overnight that leaves at least one dead and 11 others injured downtown.
No more trash talk!
Hi, everybody. NOLA Trash Talk. I'm the Prophet.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
And it's a very delayed late episode of the Evil NTT, recording once again from downtown New Orleans at the Tower of Spite, April 16th, 2024, episode number 471. It's been just over a week since we did the last one. This show is coming on the heels of French Quarter Fest weekend. And also, so much action here downtown Warehouse District for the Tower of Spite and the Evil NTT and the Prophet and all of us to dive into. Oh my goodness. Did you enjoy French Quarter Festival, Stephen?
No.
No, not at all. I put a joke out on the Trash Talk Facebook page of me walking around the quarter the weekend before French Quarter Fest and taking photos of all the empty booths and tents and everything and thinking you can really beat the crowd by showing up a week early. While everyone else goes to Hogs for the Cause, you go to the quarter. Haha, swerve. Didn't see that coming. So what did we get on French Quarter Fest? Well, what would have been just a nice little happy, quiet festival. Mass shooting at Republic, the nightclub on South Peters and Julia. We've all been to Republic. Joshua turned 18 at Republic once upon a time when it was the old Howlin' Wolf. Yeah. Better days. Anyway, Republic is more or less a nightclub, depending on what gets booked there. And the event booked for Sunday at Republic New Orleans, Stephen, was Church on Sundays, S-U-N-D-A-Z-E, which is like a traveling, clubby Sunday day drinking into nighttime drinking event that looks like from calendars I was looking at online, mostly at the Fillmore at the top of Harrah's, and then moves around town. Now, what happened on Sunday was Asking Alexandria, this band, was at the Fillmore. So Church on Sundays, the event, hosted by a female rapper from Atlanta. Yeah, called named Anicia. I don't know. I don't know these people.
SoundCloud?
That's she was the host, apparently. So they went to Republic. The official time for the event, Church on Sundays, was 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Well, somehow that went all the way to midnight, and 12 people got shot, one person killed. I don't know how. Now, the shooting happened outside the club. Now, if you know clubby club, crowds often pack outside because, you know, it's like $200 or $300 to book tables in the clubby club.
Right.
And I did pull up the Church on Sundays event at stayhappening.com. A lot of this stuff got pulled down. Like Republic New Orleans Facebook page has nothing.
Oh, wow.
No posts. So I don't know if it was always no posts or they just suddenly pulled everything down for the time being. And, of course, their calendar on their website doesn't show you past events. So I had to go on a safari and find who does the Church on Sundays stuff. So stayhappening.com. It says hosted by Anicia, that's A-N-Y-C-I-A, and the publisher host of this event was DJ Keith Scott. And again, it says 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Sunday, April 14th. Now, you want to check out the deals here, okay? One bottle minimum with six wristbands, 300. Two bottle minimum with 10 wristbands, 400. Three bottle minimum, 12 wristbands, 500. So at these prices, a lot of people gather on the street, and that's where the shooting goes down. I'm always impressed that 12 people get hit, only one person gets killed.
That is pretty impressive.
For you think how clustered up everybody was near the exits and entrances of Republic?
It's
on a very... There's not like alleyways in that stretch of South Peter.
No,
it's
not
just,
at all.
So if someone sprays and
just
prays...
Pop, 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 pop.
And there's ricochets. It's all brick walls on both sides. Yeah, so impressive. Only one fatality. And this, of course, comes on the heels 1 week after... We had the shooting of the security guard at Wits Inn in Mid-City on Carrollton, where
which a nobody drunk, gives a fuck about
where a drunk fellow walked across the street from the red door over to Witt's. The door guy said, "You're too drunk to come in," and he was shot to death. And the guy ran away, has since been arrested. I'll go into that later. I looked up that dude on social media to see what I could find out, because they did recently announce the arrest. But also, what's the problem with South Carrollton, Stephen? And what has become of Wits Inn, where we used to go once upon a time?
We used to do a show from there.
Yeah, and then we the ownership changed in 2022, is what I'm hearing. And now it's Clubby Club. Clubby Club. And
oh, really?
Sunday nights is Clubby Club. Cover charges at Wits Inn.
Cover charges?
Cover charges. Oh, here's the better one. Here's the, if you don't know anything about New Orleans and you just got the big blue Bambi eyes, you were born yesterday, and the club says 30 years old and up.
What?
Run. Run 30, away.
30 years and older.
That's ghetto lounge rules, Stephen.
Wow.
Got to be 30 or older to come in. And why
like,
is that?
That's like Club Gemini shit.
And why is that? Because, yeah, exactly. Club Gemini on Earhart. Exactly. And why is that? Because the kids will fucking kill each other. And that's what happened. So Republic, still on the loose. They have absolutely no leads. I guess there is no camera footage. And probably not of that high quality anyway. I can only imagine if church on Sundays happened as it normally would have been scheduled to happen at the Fillmore, that the same shooting would have happened outside the Fillmore on Canal Street in front of Canal Place, where we do often have shootings in the wee hours. So the most dangerous place to be, folks. Oh, also, on the top of the clubby clubs of where to avoid, I make this very simple. Stuff that gets me banned from things like the New Orleans subreddit. What do we do about the gun violence? That's what this these news stories snowball into.
And I don't think there's anything you can do.
Stephen, there is something you can do.
Oh, I see.
It's very simple. We know where these businesses are, and we know what day of the week is Sunday. So when Sunday night rolls around, just don't be near the front doors of these places, being the clubby clubs.
Are you talking about, yes, we can.
That's
we can
what
absolutely,
you can do.
Yeah, that's what I can do. Yeah, for sure.
One of the other great offenders that I've complained about is way down Chapultepec, uptown, the Rock Bottom Lounge. And what happened there about a month ago? A woman was shot coming out of the Rock Bottom Lounge, where they would have $12 steak nights and everyone's pickup trucks blocks Chapultepec, and you can't pull through. Same problems were happening in front of Wits Inn, and they block Carrollton.
Wow.
And that you have all the accoutrement of, basically, to the layperson, Mother Nature, like a neon-colored frog, is giving you the warnings to stay away. Do not lick the frog. So, people are illegally blocking the street. What's that revving sound? Oh, a posse of dirt bikers coming by. Some of them are wearing black masks, covering everything but their eyes. Mm. Huh. Mother Nature is screaming at you. Get out of here.
Yeah, I made the fun joke the other day. I was telling my buddy, I was like, "Yeah, did you hear about the Republic?" He's like, "No." I'm like, "Well, there was a
kudos to anyone who's busy enough not to hear about 12 people
being shot." He didn't hear about it, and I was like, "Oh, well, there was a quote mass shooting," and he's like, "So
fits the definition."
Yeah, fits the definition. I was like, "That's why your boy stays at and I said the bar where I go, and I'm like, "You're never gonna see something in there," and he's like, "Steve, there's never enough people in that bar to quantify a mass shooting."
Josh, are you going to tiptoe into being racist for a second? I'm going to give you the facts of what some businesses down here in the CBD have done. They removed their outside seating. You know that thing that became all the rage in COVID?
Oh.
Yeah. They had to bars have to get rid of that because people start clustering around on the corner and blocking the street, and it becomes an issue. Now, businesses will, like, low-key, they'll clamp down. They'll see what's happening. Like, this is not going to be good for business. And they'll make rules. What's our favorite one from back in college, Stephen? Because, we staying out late night uptown, going to F&M's, let's say. What was the low-key things those bars did 15, 20 years ago? Oh, we don't have Hennessy. Oh, we don't serve Heineken. Those are the low-key, like, we're trying to avoid a certain kind of clientele from coming here because there will be problems. And I'm sure Republic was very cognizant of that. There's a lot of other block parties that sprout up, especially around in French Quarter Fest. Different businesses have a DJ out front, and big crowds gather. And if you are in that situation, all of your instincts should be telling you, probably not good. Probably not, like, just when you're in the French Quarter anyway, and it's 11 p.m. Get out. Early, few blocks right off Canal. Those early blocks of Royal Street and Bourbon. You should be, everything should be screaming. Unless you are so desperate to get laid and some girl needs to go to Crystal Burger, just understand what you're taking into your hands.
Oh, y'all have Moscato? Yeah.
what was the purple one, the sparkly purple one that would be at all the gas stations on the counter? Not Moscato.
Hypnotic?
Hypnotic. No, Hypnotic was the blue one.
Blue one, yeah. I don't know.
Vinique. Vinique.
Oh.
V-I-N-I-Q is like a sparkly blue purple drink.
That's hilarious.
No, bright colors are your warning, Steven. This is jungle rules here.
Dude, so we had a manager at a bar I worked at, and somebody wanted some Moscato, and so she poured champagne or sparkling wine into glasses and just put simple syrup in it. It's the most disgusting thing ever, and it was fine.
I mean, you could throw blue Curacao in there.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
But okay, so what happened with the Republic shooting, the funny aspect of it was it forced a press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And the mayor has stopped talking to the press since December. No more press conferences.
She's too busy fucking.
So, yeah, so she had to do a press conference with NOPD and the 8th District City Council person, I think it was Leslie Harris. Oliver Thomas was there, but we were going to ignore his existence. So they had to do a press conference yesterday at 4 p.m. I watched it live, and they said, first of all, they had nothing to say because they have absolutely no leads. So each person got up to the podium and said, my condolences to the victims. And there is...
I mean, and there's cameras for days on that block. You know that.
You would think, Stephen. So I watched the big nothing burger of the press conference. I just wanted to see the mayor squirm at the podium because she's quiet quit for years, but now we're really into like the final year and a half stretch of her term, and all she needs to do is like just stay away and not, of course, that's exactly when she does do something stupid. But anyway, it was fun to watch her have to get up there and say all this stuff because, oh, well, I guess all your gun violence prevention didn't prevent the gun violence there. Where'd all that money go? Well, your violent crime task force, how much did those people get paid? You still get sprayed in front of the club on Sunday night. So other methods of gun violence prevention. So I pulled up off NOLA.gov, Stephen, the gun-free zone map.
Ah.
There's a gun-free zone map. It's mostly because of school zones, obviously. So I pulled it up, and it's a giant PDF. Again, go to NOLA.gov, gun-free zones. And I did a zoomed-in clip of this, okay? Gun-free. I gotta see if I can tilt the computer over to Steven. And I want him to. Okay, do you see the gold bubbles?
Oh, the gun-free zone.
Yeah, so there's gold bubbles that are like a 6-square block radius around high schools, I guess, or elementary schools. So I zoomed into the CBD area, warehouse district.
Yeah, there's no schools here.
Right, there's one over there. It's like International High or something.
Okay,
I think. Again, check the map. But here you can see the red dot is the scene of the shooting. I threw that in there.
Oh, we're right outside.
At Julia and South Peter.
Got
okay.
It.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're about 5 blocks from outside the safety of the school zone.
Yeah, the gun-free zone.
The gun-free zone, exactly. So I was just, what are they going to do? New Orleans needs to do something about gun control. That's what they make the debate about, gun control. It was like, would you like to post a gun-free zone in front of Republic and all the clubs? The shooting takes place on the street.
Yeah. What do you
so it's do? Not the responsibility of the club to metal detector pat anyone down.
Yeah, it'd been one thing if it was in the club. That would have been bad.
Very bad. But people bring guns into bars all the time, obviously. You can sit at any after-hours dive bar, and when the kitchen staff rolls in from the restaurant that closed, they've all got Glocks in their waistbands. It's par for the course. Because also it's an extremely dangerous city, and that's why they're going to have the concealed carry thing. Because, but the backwards logic of, again, the brain trust at reddit.com/New Orleans of concealed carry is just going to cause more gun violence, Stephen.
It's amazing.
More gun violence.
Amazing that thought process.
Yes, because the people having the guns, you just assume that they will be as immature and emotionally unstable as this lunatic. And let's take a gamble on the age of the person who eventually gets arrested for this. 18, who fired indiscriminately at a crowd and hit 12 people. I mean, for his benefit, I want to hope he hit his target.
I will say this, though. It is kind of tough to, like, get a narrative going, you know, 12 hours after something happens. Like, it's pretty tough. I mean, you have no evidence yet. You have nothing.
Well, I mean, my narrative is that and I was talking about this with our buddy Coleman about the event that happened. It was, I think it was about the Wits Inn. We were talking about the Wits Inn shooting on Friday. And Coleman told me, he's like, black people seem to believe Sunday is the go-out night. And I was like, is that a thing? Why is Sunday the night to go to the club?
I don't know.
And we're talking about Wits. And we're talking about the chaos in mid-city of everyone blocking the streets and da-da-da, Wits. Lo and behold, the goddamn thing happens again in front of our public. And the first thing I thought was, holy shit, Sunday is the go-to-the-club night. That's crazy.
Was I talking to you about this? Did we have a conversation?
We might have had parallel conversations.
Oh, we did. About Sunday night? Yeah, we did. We definitely
Someone explained to me how, yeah, Sunday's club night.
Okay.
Like, how?
So,
how?
I was having this conversation with Shane O'Mac on Monday or Sunday night, I think. And I was like, what is the deal with Sunday? And he's like, oh, it's Super Sunday.
I get Super Sunday because it's dirty.
But we don't even know what that is, though.
I don't, but again, that's daytime, though.
I know.
It's cookouts. I get the cookout.
Nighttime, and it's like, and he said, you know what? Because most of the people that want to go out that are in the service industry, most of their restaurants are closed on Monday. And Sunday is like a go-out night. And that makes sense. That's the only thing he said that made any sense to me in the last 3 days.
So we're going to assume that everyone going out on Sunday night works in the restaurant business?
We'll say a majority.
Majority, okay. All right, that makes sense.
That is a presumption, but...
But I understand
this city would make sense.
I understand the daytime cookouts Sunday.
Right.
But then there's supposed to be the slow wind down. That doesn't escalate into we block the streets now, everyone pops wheelies, and somebody gets shot at midnight. That's like way too many hours after Sunday day drinking. Everybody wrap it up. Like football game ended 3:30. Like by dinner time, everybody should be home. Not should be. But ideally, you have something to do the next day. You don't want to feel like garbage that, you know, you had Friday and Saturday or whatever. But again, service industry nights, you're right. But to me, that means Monday night is like this would be club night then.
But like nothing's really open on Monday, though.
But you could just block the street to make anything your party, though. No one's going to come and stop you, as we've seen. Oh, go ahead. Block Chapultepec both ways. The police won't come here and
that's the crazy part.
Cast any law and order here. Or block Carrollton. That's even worse. Carrollton and Canal being blocked on both sides, Stephen, because of Red Door and Wits Inn. No one's doing shit about it.
It's crazy.
But also remember this. There's also been shootings further up Carrollton once you get to Tulane Avenue. There was clubs at that far end of Tulane that also had constant issues. So I think there's a traveling group of I think this is also has dipped into Bayou Beer Garden, Wine Garden too, where the pop-up club aspect, which
right.
is a bunch of people show up, and it becomes untenable for any sort of enforcement from the business's perspective. So what the recourse of the city is like, do any of these places qualify as nuisance businesses? I'm going to say that whoever's owning Wits, absolutely. Because when you're charging cover charges, making it a club and stuff, you know exactly what kind of like.
So where did you find this out? From Reddit?
Just people talking about the neighborhood.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because like I have not been there in years. Like, I mean, I don't think I've been to WITS since.
I don't want to.
In 5 years.
I don't want to be boots on the ground researching this myself.
No, that's what I was wondering. Like, how did you know about WITS? Like it was a club atmosphere.
I'm saying, yes, there are such a thing as nuisance businesses. Shit has been happening at Republic often. There was one last Mardi Gras. There was a shooting outside, same area. They try to obscure it sometimes by saying it's like the 300 block of Julia.
Sure.
But it's Julia South Peters, and it's clearly something that happened because of Republic. And why did that happen? Because it's a club. What are clubs? It's low self-esteem hip-hop culture. What do you get from that? People with no impulse control. I looked up the dude who got fucking arrested for the Wits Inn murder, Steve. I got on his Facebook, and good God. Now, he's 27. He wasn't a teenager. So I couldn't find any SoundClouds or wannabe rap careers, but I went into his Facebook because no one has pulled it down yet, and I found him riding on dirt bikes with the full black face masks, popping wheelies on the West Bank. I'm like, I know who you running with. Why am I suddenly not surprised at all that your drunk ass was denied access to a bar and your first reaction was to shoot the doorman?
Bop, bop, bop.
Why? The circle piece slid exactly into the circle hole. Like, yeah.
How much do you think a doorman at WITS should be charging?
Anybody working the door anywhere in the city should have $100 immediately for
the shit. No, I was going to say, like, $40, $50 an hour.
Yeah, but then if you're saying it's a club, for that there's body armor involved, and yeah, you have to be paid professional security fees.
Right.
You should be certified in something before you have that job.
Gotcha.
My opinion, of course, if you're just a big dude like the guy at WITS was, you just look imposing enough that, yeah, you look like you used to play college or professional football. Like, yeah, stand at the door. Nobody would attempt anything with someone your size.
Yes, they will.
Clearly. Yeah. Joshua, did you say low self-esteem hip-hop culture? Yeah. This was explained to me before by a black dude who was going to prison. Like, the whole, like, materialism, low self-esteem, somebody bumps into you, spills your drink, and your first reaction is, like, I've been disrespected, so now everybody must die. That's a very real thing.
That's like Chris Rock, his song, No Sex in the Champagne Room, right? He said, don't worry about it. I accidentally scuff your Pumas. Don't kill me.
Yeah, exactly. And how old's that special?
No, that song came on, like, 1999.
Exactly. So to the mayor and city council, good luck legislating that. Gun control. Okay. Right. So how was the mayor doing, Steven? Because
speaking of no sex in the champagne room.
when I was walking around an empty French Quarter during Hogs for the Cause weekend, beating the French Quarter Fest crowds, looks like TD, Mayor LaToya Cantrell, she was over at Tableau with Vappy. And a very enterprising young Peter Parker was on an opposite balcony, I guess, from Tableau, and spotted the scene and snapped a great picture.
Let me go back just real quick. Some of that shit, young black man, if you go to the movie theater and someone steps on your foot, let it slide. Why spend the next 20 years in jail because someone smudged your Pumas? Chris Rock, he's amazing.
Conventional logic.
Yeah.
Also, logic would dictate if you're the mayor having an affair. And
you wouldn't just be outside,
on the balcony. Where's the, hey, do you have a private room for the mayor?
Yucking it up.
No, let's sit on the balcony with the pretty view. Make sure everyone can see us. And we'll get a good picture of Vappy looking back at the camera so we 100% know it's him.
Wow. It's crazy.
But Tableau, good choice. Great view of Jackson Square. Not the greatest food in that area, but if you want all the combination of ambiance.
We went there with your mother.
I know. If you want all the combination of pretty view, nice day, balcony seating, decent food, whatever. You're probably having more drinks than food, right, LaToya? Then, yeah, you go to Tableau. So, I mean, good advertisement for Tableau.
But for her, it's like her neighborhood restaurant. It's like right there.
No, she lives in Broadmoor, Stephen. She moved back to Louisiana Avenue Parkway.
That's right. She got kicked out.
Somebody also posted a video of her house or a photo of her house recently with the city security car sitting in the driveway.
Wow.
So we know at least that day she was there. And we're just going to hope that the process worked and she's long gone from the Pentaba. Anyway, no, she was in the quarter. I know she probably has her favorite spots that she couldn't give up to go day drink at in the quarter. I think she goes to there's a place someone told me in the quarter every day 6 p.m. she'll be there. It's like got a number name, Nines something. It's got to be close to Jackson Square. God damn it. I don't know. I would never go to any of those touristy places. But she's got a bar down there in the quarter that she goes to every day, 6 p.m. You can catch her. And Vappy is getting tab blown. Hey!
Yay!
So what do you think comes of this, Steven? All the cynical people said nothing's probably going to come of it.
Yeah, myself included. No one cares. I mean, you could...
Can't the NOPD do an investigation if this guy was drinking on the clock? I mean, we don't even care. He's sitting at a dinner table hanging out. He's not working.
Oh, that's right. They do have wine glasses. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, can we get an itemized NOPD ask for an itemized receipt from that table?
And this is like during lunchtime?
I guess it would be kind of hard to figure out.
Well, I mean, Josh, I have a picture of her drinking at lunch by herself.
That's her drinking. That's not her security detail.
Oh, okay. That's true. Nothing will happen. If you take $1 million from the city's trust and you don't go to jail, you could pretty much do whatever you want.
I'm glad just that picture landed. That came from the Metro Crime Commission, too. They had the photo, and they want to do an investigation of whether or not her security detail was drinking with her on the shift. We all know, of course, he was. That came from the Metro Crime Commission. So something has to happen, and just by serendipity, that story broke right on the heels of a 12-person mass shooting.
It really is baffling.
It's not baffling. That was great. That was poetry.
But again, we'll sit here and we'll say, "Yeah, nothing's gonna happen." We'll talk about it. Nothing will happen because something even more outlandish will happen in a week.
Well, I made that joke about with French Quarter Fest, like pretty decent weather, everybody having a nice time, completely erased the memory of the prior week when everything flooded again.
Ooh, brutal.
Just that went away. And the same, and now Jeff Landry, the governor, he's obviously investigating the Sewage and Water Board and wants to put his own state task force in charge and da 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 of the Water Board, which is good because that removes the mayor from the Water Board, and anything that gives her less power is a thumbs up. But he also wants to take a tour, or is touring right now, flood prone areas, and I would start with the underpasses that constantly flood. Now, I know they are the lowest level places, the Carrollton Underpass.
Carrollton and Canal.
The Franklin Underpass.
Marconi.
All of those, yeah. The ones that are the first things to flood and technically close, but people still drive into them. I would say, I mean, if we're going to start analyzing the issues, find out like where that water's not going
right,
and it's supposed to. Just start with one underpass. Like, pick Franklin.
Frankly, an easy one.
And just like, here's where the water should go down. Here's where bring a fire hose in and flood it yourself.
There you go.
And just do a stress test and do it. It's like, oh, that's what's happening. And then once you figure it out, or if you have to bring a trailer with a temporary pump, which they've done to clear it out, because after a week, the water didn't go down. So they've had to bring temporary pumps in on trailers to do Franklin. Stress test that one. And then move over to the Carrollton one and Marconi. And, yeah, do those. And just do it. Go piecemeal, one at a time.
You did just one, we would be like, oh.
Yeah, if they focused on just one, spent the money on just one, and there was a torrential flood, and magically that the Franklin Underpass didn't flood, everyone's jaws would
clapping.
They'd be like, are you serious? Someone fixed something? What?
We'd be like clapping seals at the fucking Oscars.
Because every time they laser in on this problem, they say how sprawling the issue is and how it would take so many millions of dollars to fix. And it's like, well, then start small. Pick one thing. Dude, let's just fix the one thing first.
Dude, JP has like 500 broken pipes.
They said that it's like 500 per day or something.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, but they're presenting that data in such an intimidating amount to you that will justify the budget.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's how they get their money. Look how much it's like, well, if they were to localize one issue, and just work on one thing and fix it. Then suddenly now to fix that one thing, they would have a dollar amount associated with the solution. And that could potentially extrapolated out would mean lots less money.
Wouldn't it make sense that you should incentivize like your local governments to be like to come under budget? So like if you come under budget, we'll give you more money.
From the outside, we know that's not how that
that's
works.
That's not how that works, I know.
You have to incentivize why every year you need more money.
Precisely.
Oh, and that's not always their fault. I mean, technically, our dollar's less valuable every minute we're alive.
This is true.
So, yeah. I mean, if you want to make the same amount of money you made this year, I mean, for the buying power of your dollar, well, then technically, you need to ask for a budget increase next year to maintain that same quality of life, or else you're going to be buying the jumbo pack of 37 hot dogs to eat for the week because your prior food budget has been evaporated. Because everything costs more because your dollar's worth less and the country's in great shape or whatever. I'm sure this is happening everywhere. I never see anyone post on social media or anything that's been shared 100 times of like how great and affordable life is in some other country. You know, you never see that. So I'm led to believe that every single country has the exact same issue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, I don't even have a grass is greener like pipe dream
example
of like, well, maybe we could just go over here and do things there. And it's like, no, here's what's bad over here. I'm like, well, that's the exact same problem I've got over here. So why bother? I believe this whole situation on Earth has been carefully curated where that we have no better example to compare ourselves to. I'm sure all those migrants marching up from all over the world, but coming up through Mexico are crossing the border and like, motherfucker, a pack of cigarettes is that much money here too? I thought it was better in this country. Yeah. Good old TD.
What about our illustrious Pelicans?
I didn't want to talk about the Pelicans, Steven.
Oh, wow.
Because the Pelicans blew their big shot on Sunday against the Lakers to walk cleanly into the NBA playoffs. And in the grand tradition of New Orleans, we need to make things as hard as possible to get into the playoffs. So we know every Saints season, it'll come down to the final play of the final game to whether or not you know that you've got that last slot in the wild card, which still hinges on another team winning or losing. The Pelicans followed through on that exact pattern, and all they had to do was beat the Lakers. The Lakers, of course, destroyed them in the grand tradition. Now the Pelicans are
facing the Lakers again.
Against the Lakers again. At home again, clearly a non-factor in how well they play.
We have the best road. We have the best road win loss in the NBA, and the worst home win loss. Worst.
Turns out, whatever jambalaya they feed the Pelicans in the
home court disadvantage,
the locker room really weighs them down at home.
I don't care about the Laker game. We lost to the Magic and the Spurs.
Oh, they blew. But no. They blew the final stretch of the season. So it would come down to the final games. Now they are in the play-in tournament, which is this thing the NBA invented so you gave a shit about a few more games at the end of the season. So now they have to beat the Lakers to get into the final slot of the playoffs. And Josh would lose and are they going to lose? Yeah, most likely. And Joshua will lose $1,000, $2,000 of not being at
the
Pelicans
worst home
games.
Record. The best. I've never heard of that. You had the best road record and the worst home record.
Clearly,
how is that possible?
Clearly something in the food when they're at home, Steven, where they just feel like shit and underperform.
It'd be like, oh, you got the best road, but like you have the third worst home record. No, we had the worst.
Maybe it's something with like being below sea level and the electromagnetic fields and they just can't focus from the three-point line.
I don't know.
Because when I watch them play at home, I swear they miss every three-point shot.
On the road? And where were they? They were at Golden State. They had 11 threes in the first quarter.
That's what I was just – is this the same team? But it's kind of like but in the tradition of the Saints where we watch them have a dog shit game. And then they go and they have a blowout game against a good team. And then you're like, well, where was this team last week? And then we go into the week after that, and then they blow it to a losing team again.
It's crazy.
And it's like there seems to be a pattern here. And just like the Saints, No home field advantage whatsoever.
Oh, my God. And you have ravenous fans here. Like, people are dying to have a decent basketball team. And we could have had our first 50-win season.
All down the drain.
Still couldn't do that.
Unlike the Franklin underpass, this season went down the drain. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. So let me consult the Trash Talk Facebook page for anything else we may have missed. We've got all the mass shootings. We've got TD. We've got the disappointments of the Pelicans. Oliver Thomas, Stephen, came out, and he was asking for more diversity in New Orleans East. Now, this happened like two
Oliver?
This happened 2 weeks ago, but we never got a chance to discuss this. I mentioned to you off the show, they had a shooting in the East. Four people were shot. Two people were killed. And there was a business owner right on the scene. This is about 3 weeks ago. Was interviewed. And he was talking to the press, and he was rightfully concerned that people would be afraid about coming to his neighborhood because of how dangerous it would be. But he wants to let people know that it's safe and you should still come. And then 2 minutes later in the same interview, he's like, but we will not be gentrified. And I appreciate his concerns about being gentrified because I don't think that's going to happen to you, kid, in the East. And now a week after that, Oliver Thomas, who's the East falls into his coverage. He's asking for more economic diversity because guess what kind of shit they have in the East, Steve, in all the strip malls? Nail salons. Just the no businesses want to move there. It's all the Dollar Generals, nail salons.
Crazy.
And it's like, gee, I wonder how did that happen, Oliver? So he's asking for people to come to the East. Like he used the word diversity. Like, but you don't want to be gentrified. I mean, that's what I heard. I thought you're proud of your cultures and your neighborhoods, but you want somebody with money to, I would say, almost donate their services to your poor neighborhood?
It really is a donation at that point.
Because all they're going to do is lose money? You'll be lucky if Walmart is still there in 5 years.
As we've said before, the board meeting of the Walmarts, when they're like, which one of these fucking places can we just close?
They closed the Lowe's in the East.
Oh, they had to.
Yes. And Walmart is right there in terms of leakage, getting robbed, not worth it for the company to maintain a presence there. So you should just enjoy that while you can. I believe Fallberg Brewing is, they shut down their manufacturing operations. That won't exist much longer. I'm sure Gail Benson will be looking at the financials. I'm like, and what are we paying for? This giant warehouse in the East where we're not even making the beer any longer and it's being made somewhere else and no one's coming to our nice facility, except they will have a days in between festival for
sure.
Between Jazz Fest. So if you're brave enough to head out to the East for that, go to it. That might be the last money they make this year. And we want to, hey, I would like all the neighborhoods to be doing great and thriving. You know what they're doing in Baltimore, Steven?
Oh, around the harbor?
The city-owned business, and we just talked about Baltimore and how terrible state it's in. The city-owned row homes in around downtown Baltimore are being sold off for $1 a piece.
Wow.
With the possibility to get grant money to fix them up.
Wow.
Because nobody is buying into downtown Baltimore in the row homes. My own uncle bought one of those row homes back in the 90s and gave up on it because it was so bad, the neighborhood. Just not worth investing your money into. Now they're selling the homes. They're very famous style of row homes. I'm sure that it's like the same in Philly. That it's just like a stretch of brick, and it's very narrow. Yeah.
Same in Philly.
Dollar a piece, y'all. You want to invest in downtown Baltimore. You know, the Orioles and Ravens are doing great. So you'll definitely get your money back. $1 and apply for that grant to fix things up. I think Oliver Thomas should aim for that same kind of program. I'm not going to say it's going to work in Baltimore, but at least have it on the table for the East.
Yeah.
Of like whatever this, if the city should just buy the dilapidated or take ownership over all the shit that's just been abandoned and sell to any, because they were doing the program where if you cut the grass for long enough, you got to keep it.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, this is just one step removed from that. Offer $1. $1, comma, and especially for commercial properties. If something's been abandoned for so long, have the city take possession of it. And if they want to incentivize like more diverse businesses moving into the area, go for it. Isn't it funny that Lakefront Airport's out there and a lot of wealthy people have to fly into that airport?
That's so insane.
It's cruel.
Yeah.
It's just That is like a cannonball run then of leaving the airport and heading down Dauman to get to I-10. It's like, will you make it? Like the Indiana Jones giant ball is rolling behind your car as you're trying to get onto the interstate and escape.
I saw my old boss like about 3-4 days ago, maybe a week ago. And she lives in a neighborhood behind me. And she sold her house to move to Bucktown. She's moving literally 2 miles away.
But getting out of Orleans Parish.
Yes.
As anyone who can afford
it's
to will.
Hilarious.
It's funny how if you can afford to move, you will. But then eventually what moves you out is the fact that you can't afford to stay.
Oh, yeah. But then now they can't sell. They can't sell their house, though. It's getting tough to sell their house in behind our neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a really nice that you know where I live. Like, that's a really nice, quote unquote, part of town.
You're still in the borderlands, though.
I know.
You're in the borderlands of Gentilly, which is the borderlands of the East, which means people will cut across, steal shit, and cut back. Speaking of businesses cursed, though, after I watched the Pelicans lose on Sunday, I went uptown and visited Tracy's.
Whoa.
And
the new new?
The old Tracy's, which is still operating.
Oh, okay.
As Tracy's. And I'm happy to announce that on a beautiful sunny Sunday at Tracy's, I was the only person there.
Wow.
Only person.
That's crazy.
And I talked about it while I was there that the old owners moved down the street to the cursed location, the former Saloo and Bayou Burger that's across from Uptown Bulldog, and they're not open yet, but it's an equally cursed location. And I'm just looking at Magazine Street from, like, I know French Quarter Fest was still going on technically, but I'm just looking at a beautiful sunny day. And
that should not happen.
There was no one there. All the windows and doors were open.
Should not happen.
And I didn't walk down further in Magazine and scope out what the scene was like at Balcony or Bulldog and what eventually will be the new Tracy's. I guess both businesses are going to cling to this name, and there's going to be Tracy's 1 and Tracy's 2. But another cursed location up on St. Charles, a place that I would have always thought would have printed money years back, was the Blind Pelican on St. Charles Avenue.
Wow.
And your other old boss, his brother, is now operating that building after years of sitting empty as this place called Sea Witch, the Old Blind Pelican, which is a two-story restaurant with balcony seating and patio seating.
Dude, that is
on the streetcar route.
It's unbelievable.
And yet cannot make
it's unbelievable
any money.
Do you remember going there?
I do.
We watched like football games there.
I remember going and thinking, like, what a great location.
How can you not make money? It's so difficult.
Well, now it is operating as Sea Witch. I'm not sure what level of open it is, hard, soft, whatever. Last time I checked, there still was no social media presence. But like, I know you have a questionable relationship with your old boss and potentially his family. I would say good luck. I would hope the best for someone operating such a prime piece of real estate. Like, keep the food simple, keep the environment fun.
Just keep.
Don't
it easy.
Become a club on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Most importantly,
they used to have the boxing, the Friday night fights would be outside the Blind Pelican.
Didn't they have like 25-cent oysters too as a
that
special?
That too.
Just things that you would assume, oh, this is going to be gangbusters right off the streetcar route. Tourists can come here just as much as locals. Half indoor, outdoor. Yeah. So hopefully that cursed location doesn't maintain that. And I really hope the best for all the different types of Tracy's on Magazine Street. These are good spots, lots of natural light, good for crawfish weather and boils and everything else. And though, when you have a nice French Quarter Fest weekend with perfect weather, you get a mass shooting on top of it.
Yeah.
And you get a city administration that can't really do much about it.
You get to look forward to Jazz Fest, which is next weekend, huh?
And you know there will be a shooting right around Jazz Fest where they're going to have to pull out the
board up Mandinas.
Well, no, they're going to have to pull out the press conference again and show face, even though they know they have nothing to say to the public about it. They still have to make the appearance and be like, Jazz Fest is still safe and fun, y'all. We welcome everybody into town. Da 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 da. We don't have any leads on any of the people that were killed yesterday, so please call Crime Stoppers. Please, somebody help us solve this. Anyone? Well, I'm the Bravo Joshua.
And I'm Steve McGeezy.
This is Nola Trash Talk.